Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Well, Oregon is geared up for this college football season and a move to the Big Ten Conference. But I think the game that a lot of Duck fans circled on the calendar is at Autzen Stadium. It's Ohio State. We talked to Rob Mullins, the Oregon Athletic Director, on this show last week. He said 11,000 season tickets sold. He said that there were only about 15 billing zip codes that belonged to the state of Ohio. Said he didn't know how many tickets they were buying. But a lot of Oregon fans excited to see Ohio State come to the stadium. Bill Rabinowitz is the best on Ohio State. Columbus Dispatch covers the team, knows what the heck he's doing. He's been on the show before. Bill, thank you for making time for us.
Happy to do it, John. Nice to be with you.
Give us an idea. Spring football, Ohio State. What questions did you go in with?
I think Ohio State entered the spring with the same two questions they had leaving last year, the quarterback position and the offensive line. And I think you left the spring with the same two questions. I think there was progress there. I don't think there's the same level of concern at either position that there was last year. But those are really the only unresolved positions on the team.
I look at the quarterback room, and I see that, you know, there were like four or five quarterbacks that all were getting reps. And I was really impressed that it seemed that they didn't jump in the portal. Like a lot of schools, you'll see, you know, quarterback who's fourth or fifth in the depth chart will jump into the portal. What's going on with that QB room?
Yeah, I was surprised. I think that I know people at Ohio State were surprised they didn't lose anybody. NIL certainly is a factor, but I also think that they are taking the long view and they realize, let's say that Will Howard, the transfer from Kansas State, is the quarterback this year, which is the expectation. It's not a sure thing. He still has to beat out Devin Brown, but he's a one-year guy. He's a grad transfer, so he's gone next year. So if you're Devin Brown, you say, well, do I think I could beat him out in training camp? Maybe. But even if I don't, I'm the front runner for next year. And if you are the other quarterbacks, you say, well, I've got a chance next year because there's no incumbent. And, you know, again, that's assuming that Devin Brown doesn't win the job this year. And if Devin Brown wins the job and plays really well, he's probably off to the NFL. So I think that they took the long view. They've got two very, very good freshman quarterbacks, Julian Sayin is the one that really jumped out this spring. He actually started his career at Alabama. He was a Nick Saban recruit, and then when Saban retired, he transferred to Ohio State before he really ever started at Alabama. And they also have Aaron Nolan. So Sayin's the one that people are kind of saying, okay, he's the long-term guy. But, I think it's unrealistic to think a true freshman will start at Ohio State this year.
The addition of Chip Kelly, do you have a sense yet of how that will impact or affect Ohio State on the offensive side of the ball?
Yeah, I think in a couple of ways, a couple of big ways. First of all, he will allow Ryan Day to really be a delegator and say, okay, just like he gave the defense to Jim Knowles a couple of years ago, and that is really, he's really solidified that side of the ball. I think he was looking for somebody he could do the same thing with an offense. Obviously, Chip Kelly's his mentor. And he couldn't have picked anyone better than that. So I think that's one thing. It'll allow Ryan Day to be more of a head coach in kind of a CEO way. The other is that, Chip Kelly's a really good schemer. I mean, in terms of drawing your plays on the napkin, to kind of use that expression. And I think the thing that gets overlooked sometimes about Kelly's past is he's really good at designing run plays. And the run game has been good for Ohio State, but it hasn't been, like, amazing. And I think that Chip Kelly he's sitting in his office right now, I would bet, just designing plays and coming up with ways to spring Davion Henderson and Quinshon Judkins, the transfer from Ole Miss. It's a loaded backfield. And so I think that will be an improvement. I think they've really upgraded the offensive staff this year with the hiring of Chip Kelly.
Marvin Harrison Jr. was such an important and impressive part of Ohio State's offense. How do the Buckeyes replace him or try to replace him?
Well, the simple answer is you don't replace him Marvin Harrison Jr. because they don't come around very often. having said that, they still have Emeka Egbuka, who is, would have been possibly a first-round pick if he hadn't been hurt a lot of last year. They also have Cardale Tate, who they really, really like. He's going to be a redshirt freshman this year. And the one that really kind of jumped out is Jeremiah Smith, who was the number one overall recruit in the country last year. And in spring, people were just, the hyperbole wasn't even enough. I mean, they were, Gene Smith called him basically LeBron James. You know, you kind of want to hit the brakes a little bit when you talk about true freshmen. But we saw him make plays this spring. We didn't get to see a lot of spring practice, but what we did see, he was like, oh boy, who's that guy? And then you realized quickly who he was. And then you expected him to make those plays. But he looks like a man among boys, even as a freshman. So you have those three wide receivers. G. Scott Jr. should step in and be, you know, an adequate replacement for Cade Stover, who's a multi-year starter tight end. And then it's the offensive line, and that's really still the big question on the team. It should be better, but and the big question is really at right guard. But it has to play the level that Ohio State's used to, and it just didn't last year.
Bill Rabinowitz, Columbus Dispatch, is with us. The Oregon fans have that Ohio State game circled on the calendar. You know, we know that Oregon went to Ohio State a few years ago with Mario Cristobal and did the unthinkable, won that game. And how much, you know, when the schedule comes out, I guess it's normally the Michigan game your fan base is looking at, but did the Oregon game register?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I happen to think it's the biggest game of the season. I think it's the most difficult game of the season for Ohio State because it's on the road at Oregon. They've never played there as far as I don't think they've ever played there. Certainly not since Oregon has been a power. And it's still going to be early in the season. That's a tough game. Now, Michigan's the one they absolutely can't lose. I mean, they just can't lose that game. You figure Michigan's going to be down a little bit this year. The game's in Columbus. Ohio State's loaded. They just can't lose that game. But in terms of the difficulty, you say, what game is Ohio State most likely to lose? I would probably say Oregon. Penn State's always tough, but Ohio State is more or less, they've struggled with Penn State, but they found a way to win almost all the time. You know, as you said, Oregon came to Columbus a couple of years ago, and they beat Ohio State badly. I mean, that was, they exposed Ohio State's defense, and that was a red flag. It cost Kerry Combs' defensive coordinator job. It caused, really, Jim Knowles to be hired. That game was the one that made you go, they have some serious problems on defense because Oregon kept running the same play and having success with it. So there is, you know, I don't know that there are many players from that team, the Ohio State team that were there then, you know, more prominent players, but that memory remains for Ohio State fans, certainly. The Oregon game is a huge game for Ohio State.
No Jim Harbaugh at Michigan. I would expect the Wolverines take a step back just with a coaching change. Right. Oregon, USC coming into the conference, UCLA and Washington as well. It feels like there's a window here for Ohio State. How much urgency is there for Ryan Day to kind of make this one count?
There is always urgency at Ohio State. It's the expectations here are always crazy. I don't know that I could recall a season when they're crazier than this because they've lost the last 3 years to Michigan, because Michigan won it all last year. Because Ohio State's clearly kind of gone all in with NIL, they got Caleb Downs from Alabama, one of the best defensive players in the country. They brought in Will Howard, Quinshon Judkins. I mean, it's a different era in college football. You can kind of break the bank. And I think players generally are getting less than some people think they're getting, but the star players, you know, they're getting compensated. And so there was a push to do that. Gene Smith's retiring in June. He wanted to leave the program in a position where Ryan Day had everything he needed to win a national championship or at least win the Big Ten. And so if they don't beat Michigan and win the Big Ten, and if they don't do that, then they don't make a big run in the playoffs when they get there.
Yeah.
This is, you know, a make or break year in certain ways for Ryan Day. But all the pieces are in place. I expect them to be number one or number two with Georgia, the other team. You know, I think Oregon's right there too. I mean, maybe third or fourth. I haven't studied it really, but I think Oregon is certainly a top five team. And so that's why this game is going to be huge.
The thing about Oregon is, you know, I think they're going to have the bodies. They're going to have the physicality. They're going to have some things that Oregon hasn't traditionally had on the roster, but they haven't been in that situation. And Dan Lanning, I still think, is a relatively young coach. You know, he was struggling to beat Washington, and I think there's some, you know, until you do it, you got to sniff around it kind of thing, Bill. You know, give us an idea. What, you know, Oregon and these teams that are coming into the Big Ten, what don't they know about sort of the weekly grind of the Big Ten?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, it's funny because the Big Ten East was so much better than the Big Ten West. The Big Ten West never won the Big Ten title in the, like, 10 years or whatever it was that there was that. And so you had a lot of mediocrity in the league, but you also had Ohio State and Michigan and Penn State. Michigan State has certainly dropped, but they were for a while very good. You know, the weather is something they're going to have to contend with because there's no way to really prepare for playing in Minnesota in November or playing in East Lansing when the wind tunnel is like you can't throw the ball today. You know, I don't know that they've dealt with the elements the way that they might have to deal with some of the elements this year. But, you know, I those are four of the best Pac-12 teams in the conference. So it's not like they're going to come to the Big Ten and have to kind of, you know, raise their game. I mean, it's USC, for God's sake. It's Oregon. I mean, Washington is, you know, played the national championship. I mean, these will be top-tier programs in the Big Ten. But, you know, culturally it's a difference. I think the travel will be a factor for them. It's much harder for the West Coast teams to have to travel multiple times as opposed to the Midwest teams that have to really fly out once. So I think that's going to be a factor. But in terms of, like, talent level, I think Oregon's going to be fine.
Bill Rabinowitz with us, Ohio State football beat writer for the Columbus Dispatch. You know, questions you have for Ohio State going into fall camp. You know, I think at Oregon we're still kind of trying to see, like, what will they be at quarterback? How do they replace Bo Nix? Do they have the physicality to line up with Ohio State team and not get outrushed 300-100, that kind of stuff? But what about Ohio State? What are you thinking about as the fall approaches?
Yeah, the offensive line is the big thing. You know, you have, like I said, a line that underachieved last year. Now, most of those guys are back, and that should be a good thing, but they've got to raise their game. Josh Simmons at left tackle, you know, yeah, I kind of felt for him last year. He transferred from San Diego State after spring practice. He did not have the benefit of spring practice, and they switched him from right tackle to left tackle. And he struggled some, as to be expected. And the pressure of playing at Ohio State and being under that microscope, he had his problems. Josh Fryer at right tackle was a little overmatched at times. I mean, he was good at times and not so good at times. And the center really struggled. Now they brought in Seth McLaughlin from Alabama. And, you know, I think they've solidified the line. I think Josh Simmons will be a lot better. I think Josh Fryer is better. So I think it's going to be better, but they still have to prove it. But the thing that Ohio State's going to be, I think there are very few questions about, is their defense. It's going to be lights out. They were a top, I think, four defense last year. I mean, they were a great defense. And they added Caleb Downs. They basically had everybody who was going to come back except for Mike Hall, and they can replace him on the defensive line. They have JT Tuimoloau and Jack Sawyer as your defensive end. Tyreek Williams as a defensive tackle. Those are three guys that could be first-round picks last year or next year. You know, Denzel Burke is a lockdown corner. As I said, you have Caleb Downs, who might be the best player on the whole defense. It's going to be a very, very good defense. I don't really see any flaws, honestly. But again, you got to play the games. You have to live up to what you think you are. But that's where I think Ohio State is going to be just really difficult to beat. I just don't see them allowing a lot of points, a lot of yards. I just think it's going to be very, very tough on offenses next year.
Aside from, you know, the Ohio State game, you know, I'm looking at Oregon's schedule and thinking there, you know, there are going to be some challenges that the Oregon fans don't see coming. And one of the games that I look at is the game at Wisconsin. You've traveled there. You've seen it. Oregon's playing at Wisconsin in mid-November. You know,
good luck.
Give us an idea of what that challenge will be like.
it's going to be really cold. The stadium is going to be rocking, especially after the third quarter when they do the jump around. Now, the question with Wisconsin, they had a disappointing year last year under Luke Fickell. And if he doesn't turn it around in year two by mid-November, that could be a program that's got some questions about it. So it'll either be a really tough game if Wisconsin gets back on track, or it'll be a game where Oregon could roll because Wisconsin is clearly regressed. I don't know. I mean, I don't know enough about Wisconsin at this point. But just the idea of, I mean, Camp Randall's a really cool place to watch a game. So if Oregon fans are thinking about the road trip, I would recommend it. Madison's a great city. Yeah, that's an intriguing game. I don't know what Wisconsin's going to be this year. I just don't know how good they're going to be.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, because in the month of November, Michigan's got to play both Oregon and Ohio State. That's going to be rough.
Michigan had such an easy schedule last year, and now they've got a brutal one. They get to play Texas, whereas Ohio State last year had a fairly tough schedule, and Ohio State fans are mocking Michigan for their schedule. You look at Ohio State's schedule, and you go, there are probably only three games they could potentially lose, and that's Oregon, Penn State, and Michigan. You never know. You know the team can always pull an upset, but those teams have not pulled upsets on Ryan Day's Buckeyes. He's not lost to an unranked team. So, Michigan's got a really tough schedule this year. Then, who knows what the fallout, if there ever eventually is going to be a penalty for the cheating scandal, who knows? But, it's going to be tough for Michigan. Even if they are great, that's the gauntlet they got to go through.
Yeah, they got Texas, USC. They got Michigan State with Jonathan Smith now at coach. They've got Oregon. They've got Ohio State. Have fun with that. Bill Rabinowitz with us, Columbus Dispatch. All right, you alluded to Gene Smith on his way out, longtime AD at Ohio State. You know, and I noted you guys had a piece not too long ago about, he said he went berserk with spending when it came to football. Why did he do that? And, in what areas did he do things that Ohio State hadn't normally done?
Well, they raised the coaching pool, salary pool. I mean, Chip Kelly's, he replaced Corey Dennis, who was not making much, relatively speaking. And so that's that. They gave some guys raises. I think it went up by like $2.5 million, something like that. They did the NIL stuff. I mean, Caleb Downs is getting paid. Guys like that, they kind of, I don't want to say they opened the floodgates. I think that's overstating it. But I think that Gene Smith, first of all, Ohio State does not like losing to Michigan three years in a row, not winning a Big Ten championship 3 years in a row. There's an urgency to this. And they know that these guys, these underclassmen that could have gone to the NFL, the Jack Sawyers and JT Tuimoloau's and Denzel Burks and go down the list, they came back to win a national championship. And I think the feeling was if they're going to come back, then we're going to give them everything at our disposal to give them a chance to win that national championship. So I don't want to say it's all in, because if you lose, you still have next year. But the 2025 Buckeyes are going to be down compared to what this team is on paper.
Bill Rabinowitz, I love it. Love to connect with you maybe late in the summer as things are starting to become clear. But wanted to have you on as we bring up Ohio State probably on a several times a week basis on this show, and I was like, we need to get somebody who knows Ohio State on the show. So thank you for giving us your time, and I love that you've got it circled on your calendar as well. So I will I'll give you the travel guide and the places to stop when you come out.
Oh, great. Ohio State was supposed to play in 2020, and that game obviously got canceled because of the pandemic. And I've always wanted to come to Oregon. It's one of the 12 states I haven't been to, and it's probably the best of those states that I haven't been to. So I'm looking forward to going to Eugene, and Portland, spending a little time in Portland. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Thank you, Bill. I appreciate you. There he goes. Bill Rabinowitz, Columbus Dispatch. How about that? He sees Oregon as the threat that Oregon is. And I got to say that memory of Oregon going into the horseshoe and putting a loss on Ryan Day, probably on Ryan Day's mind. But, yes, I mean, when you add Chip Kelly let's just grab Chip Kelly and put him on our roster, and then you take Oregon's running backs coach and you talk about the salary pool that's available to Ryan Day, the thing I keep thinking about is how much this game, how much this matchup will come down to coaching. Coaching, coaching, coaching. How much will it matter?
John, do you think that, because that loss to Oregon definitely hit hard with Ohio State fans. I think that really wakens them up. But a team like Michigan, who hasn't played Oregon in a long time, do you think they take Oregon seriously coming into the Big Ten?
I think they do. I think Oregon's brand precedes it. I don't know if they're taking Washington, and certainly not UCLA, and maybe not even USC, although there is some cachet to the USC name, the same way they're taking Oregon. But you, if you're a college football fan, you can't miss what Oregon's doing in recruiting. Like, you know what Oregon's doing in recruiting, and you know that Oregon was kind of sniffing around it a year ago. I think Oregon's hope is that Ohio State stays nice and focused on Michigan and nice and focused on that game and the Big Ten, and maybe, you know, maybe they don't see it coming. And I think it's very fortunate that Oregon has Ohio State at home. Now, when I went through Oregon's schedule, I kind of came away in my way too early prediction for the season. I came away saying 11-1, and I gave Oregon a loss to Ohio State. And I didn't do it kind of definitively. I just kind of penciled in a loss there because I felt like Oregon will either lose there, or it could lose at Wisconsin, or it could, you know, it could trip somewhere in the Big Ten schedule. But having Autzen Stadium there, I do think makes you think about an undefeated season for Oregon. I'm not saying they're going to do it, but it makes you think about it.
You want to give a guess on the look ahead line that game? It's already out here on Bet Online.
The spread on that
one? The spread on that one, yeah.
On Oregon, Ohio State?
Yes, at Oregon.
Oregon's going to be about a 1.5-point favorite.
Got it right on the dot there.
One and a half point favorite
for Oregon.
But to me, it you know, it's a real question. Like, we have to, I need to see Dylan Gabriel play. And I put a picture in the Monday mailbag yesterday. And if you subscribe to johnconzano.com, you're going to know this. But I put a picture in the Monday mailbag yesterday that was of Dylan Gabriel at the spring game. Serena Morones, the great photographer, took the picture. I don't want to tell you what I saw in the picture, but if you go to johnconzano.com and just look at the photo for the Monday mailbag and maybe scroll into the entry, you're going to notice something about Dylan Gabriel that I showed it to Anna, and I was like, do you see what I see? And she did. And it's a question. I guess we'll talk about it in the next segment. I want your phone calls as well. 503-417-7575. But if you already read johnconzano.com, look at the Monday mailbag and scroll to the picture of Dylan Gabriel and Oregon's offensive line. Tell me if you see what I see. Leave it here.
Well, the NBA has released the fine for Jamal Murray. I'm sure it'll be part of the 5 at 5, but I'm going to tell you, it's a six-figure fine, $100,000 for Jamal Murray. Where's the fine for Patrick Beverley, by the way? Where's the suspension for Patrick Beverley? I'm just kind of wondering, like, you know, is an unrestricted free agent, is that what is keeping the NBA from fining and suspending Patrick Beverley? The fact that he's technically not a player under contract with an NBA team. I'll have to reach out to the league and ask them, like, you know, is that what is keeping this fine from Patrick Beverley going public? So very quick to find Jamal Murray. Anna is in the studio. She'll have the 5 at 5 coming up top of the hour. Dylan Gabriel, you know, he's listed at how tall is he listed at, Anna, in the media guide?
I thought it was 6'1", but let me double check.
Okay, so yeah. The photo that we posted...
Oh, no, 5'11".
Yeah, at johnconzano.com, yesterday as part of the Monday mailbag, shows Dylan Gabriel behind Oregon's offensive line. Now, Oregon's offensive line is big, bigger than ever before. And Gabriel is standing back there, listed at 5'11", listed at 5'11", listed at 5'11", like they do when they list players at 5'11", and I got a hard time understanding how he's throwing the ball over that offensive line. It looks, and I got a B in geometry, but it looks geometrically challenging for a 5'9" quarterback. Now, he has his eyes closed, too, while he's throwing the ball, but, you know, it might just be that he blinked, okay? So I don't think he's actually running around back there with his eyes closed. But it just jumped out at me Like, they're going to be playing against big defensive lines that are long and tall. They've got a giant offensive line. It, you know, I think there's a to-be-determined factor here on how Dillon Gabriel will be utilized by Will Stein in Oregon and Oregon's offense. And Doug Flutie played in the pocket, too. You know, don't at me and say, you know, there were guys that were little that played. But Dillon Gabriel back there, it does create some challenges when you aren't 6'2", 6'3", and you can't see over that offensive line. So I'll be curious to see what Oregon does with him, rolls him out, moves him around in the pocket. I mean, there's some things you can do to get him better sight lines. And clearly, you know, he's had success to this point. But it made me think about a guy like Austin Novosad, who had a great spring game. It made me think about him because he's a taller, bigger, maybe more of a true passer. And I'm just kind of wondering if we're going to see a little Novosad this year. And I know there were some people who walked away from Oregon's spring game going, well, you know, we think that guy really can play. Mike is in Eugene. Mike, you got to go quick. What's on your mind, man?
John, you and Anna are the best. I've never been on with Anna. Quickly, Steven said he wasn't sure if Michigan would remember us, but I was at the game in Ann Arbor when Dennis Dixon did the Statue of Liberty. And then I know you were already covering at the Oregonian when Lloyd Carr brought the return. It was a hot September day. So they're 0-2 against the Ducks. I promise you they will remember us. And I think Anna and you guys kind of touched on this last week. Deion Sanders is acting like a bully. Yeah. I love how he flaunts his religion when it's convenient, yet he's bullying a 20-year-old online. I've never seen a religious text.
We're going to talk about it coming up. Good stuff there. We'll talk about it on the other side of the break.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.